Welcome back. It's getting warmer. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Friday night draft coverage right here after the show with Sean Campbell and Tony Marinaro and Dan Robertson in studio. Mitch Gallo currently in Aruba. He will go right to Dallas for coverage on Friday night and Saturday morning as well here on TSN 690. Along with Knuckles Nylund and Sean Campbell and Rod Francis, Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. ShipEnergy.com.
See if we can get a full segment out of Pierre's phone today. How you doing?
I'm excellent. I'm not moving. Chris will know exactly where I am. I'm in Belmont, Massachusetts.
Yes, I know.
Where is that?
Yes.
Are you in the hockey rink there?
No, but I'm not far from one. I was just skating not long ago, but I'm in my I'm in an apartment that we have here. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyways,
much better. Better connection. Thank you very much.
Not moving, Mitch, just for you. did we have a trade again today?
We had two trades involving the same guy, the Ottawa Center. Now, I know you have been doing daily hits in Ottawa almost as long as you've been with us.
Correct.
And so how should they feel, the fan base in Ottawa, number one, that Mike Hoffman got Michael Botker, and number two, apparently, I don't know if it's a philosophy by Dorion, a team philosophy, the owner's philosophy, saying we don't want him in the same division, so you send him 3,000 miles away to San Jose, who promptly flips him to Florida, and he's in your division.
Well, that's the part that was shocking to me, because I did my morning hit, which is always at 8:08 in the morning till 8:30. We stayed on till 8:35 today. I had no idea he was being retraded. I thought San Jose would be a good fit for him. They've taken Evander Kane, and it worked out well with Evander Kane. They signed him to a long-term deal. Peter DeBoer is a guy that really understands young players, communicates well with them. They have great internal leadership. It wouldn't be Hoffman's room. It wouldn't be Kane's room. That's Brent Burns' room. That's Mark Edward Vlasic's room. You know, that's Logan Couture's room. That's Joe Thornton's room once he re-signs with them. So he would just be a bit player there. He wouldn't have any jam at all. He would just have to go out there and score. The fact that people, and I'm hearing this now, that people are upset that he was traded back in the East, that's a quality control matter. If you don't want him back in the East, you put an addendum in the trade saying you can't trade him within the Eastern Conference for 6 months, or you can't trade him for a year, whatever, back to the East. But that's a quality control issue.
But why should that even? We've talked a lot about this through the years, mostly in relation to the Canadians.
I don't have a problem. I don't care whether a guy gets traded in the division or not. I really don't, because with the salary cap now, you got to move players where you can get the best return.
And you know, frankly, it's Mike Hoffman who's a very good goal scorer, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, and not only that, you know what they did for San Jose? People on Long Island aren't going to like this. They just opened up a Pandora's box of salary cap room for them to make a very substantial bid on John Tavares. That's what San Jose did. The big part of this thing, the more I've looked at it over the course of the day, they've opened up a big box of money.
Well, they have enough money to sign Tavares and Sean Campbell's favorite UFA, right?
Ilya Kovalchuk.
I think if you prioritize Tavares goes first, Ilya would go second, but you would never know. But that's what they've done. That's what this deal has done. And for Florida, I mean, they missed the playoff by 1 point. They think that maybe this is the guy that gets them over the top. I don't know. It'll be interesting, because I don't see him fitting with Barkov. I just don't know if that's a fit there. But I could see him fitting with Trocheck. I could see he and Vinny Trocheck being a good tandem together.
Pierre, a lot of people were under the assumption that if the Habs were going to trade Max Pacioretty, he'd probably wind up in Florida. Now with Florida getting Mike Hoffman, who do you see as, or where do you see possible landing spots for Pacioretty?
Oh, I think there's a lot of them. I know, Mitch, sometimes I'm kind of conflicted, because I know some certain teams and I've been asked about a player and I just can't say, just out of respect to the people that call. And I'm sure Chris goes through this too. There's certain things you can say and can't say. All I can tell you is that I know of at least three teams that would be very interested in him. One of them really wanted to make a deal at the trade deadline to get Max, and the The demands were just outrageous from Montreal, which I don't blame them, by the way. I don't blame them for having outrageous demands at the trade deadline.
Pierre, here's the deal. When I'm going to say something, I say it. I really don't. I don't hold back.
Okay.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Just so you know. No. Okay. I don't hold back. Oh. If I'm going to say something, I say it. You know?
I gotcha.
But I know where you're coming from, where you're coming from.
Well, sometimes you just don't
but
say
me,
it.
But me, like, listen, if I spoke to someone and they told me something about a certain player going maybe, I wouldn't say that on the air, for sure. I wouldn't.
That's what he's talking about.
I know. I'm not a scoop guy.
But you have.
Yeah, no, I got I got you.
But you have said said stuff on the air that's been told to you, but it wasn't told to you with a provision that you don't repeat it.
No, that may be your perception. But no. No.
Yeah. Okay, we could talk off the air.
I've heard some things.
Oh, yeah. And you've
So I've heard some things. Doesn't mean I've never gone to someone and say, "Hey, give me a scoop so I can get on the radio and sound like I'm a real bright guy."
Yeah, you know? No, this is more about evaluation than scoopage.
Yeah.
You know, people call about what's the character of the player, what do you know about, you know, potential injuries that maybe we're not aware of, what are his relationships like. You know how people try to gather as much information as possible when trades are potentially going down. So when you have those kinds of privileged conversations, I just choose not to disclose the teams or the people that I have them with because they reach out to you. But that being said, you know, I can tell you that there were teams, one in particular at the deadline, that, you know, they were enamored with Max. But again, Montreal wanted a lot, and that's well within their rights, and they chose not to make the deal.
Pierre, the story today involving Artemi Panarin, that he has made it clear that right now he's not interested in talking contract. He's got only a year to go. Is there any chance the Montreal Canadiens could get in on a Panarin, a player that clearly Marc Bergevin tried to bring over here before the Blackhawks got him?
I don't know why not, but the problem is now, you know, how many Russian players do you have left in Montreal?
Sherbeck.
So what I'm saying is that it hasn't been a very friendly landing place for some Russians lately, anyways. So I find that interesting. But Dave Panarin goes to market, or, you know, they can't get him signed. Which, by the way, as you said correctly, he's got a year left on his deal. It's not like they need to panic. Sometimes you know people get their feet held to the fire, and that's what I think in this case they're doing with Columbus, is trying to make them sweat it out so the dollars become higher. I think he's really happy there. I could be wrong, but I tell you, when I was in Columbus doing games, he seemed really happy.
I know. Well, what a talent. I know he's not a center, but man, what a talent. Rod, you want to jump in?
No, it doesn't matter whether he's a center or wing. That guy can score. That guy can play.
Do you think that Columbus considers him to be part of that core, the core of the franchise?
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
So in that case, would it not be more likely they'll do whatever they can to keep him if he is part of the core?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that's what I'm saying. I think that from his camp, they're holding the feet of the Columbus Blue Jackets ownership and management to the fire. They've got a legitimate number one center there in Pierre-Luc Dubois. That guy's just going to be a superstar, I'm just telling you. Going to be a major superstar in the league. And that took a lot of courage. Took a ton of courage for Columbus to pick him, because Yarmol's a Finn and Ville Sorin, who's his chief scout, is a Finn, and they passed on a Finn to take Pierre-Luc Dubois, and they made the right choice. Dubois is going to be a superstar. So they've already got their number one center. Panarin was fantastic. They've got a wealth of defense, as everybody knows, with Seth Jones and Zach Werenski. I mean, just phenomenal defense. David Savard. So they're in a really, really good spot in Columbus, I think.
Perry, you mentioned the Russian factor a moment ago here. Michael Farber, was it last summer, made the point that there is this history with Claude Julien and Russians. He hasn't had a whole lot of them. Go ahead.
I read an article about that or something, about Claude and the Russians. He doesn't have a good track record with them.
The fact is they did try to sign Radulov and Markov, and he would have coached them, right? If it had worked out, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. That's part of the equation. No question about it. Didn't work out. But you think that, I mean, people around the league talk about this?
No, I haven't heard people that are decision makers in the league talk about that. No, I have not. It doesn't mean that they haven't, but I personally have not heard those. I would just tell...
Hello?
There goes the connection.
Pierre? Pierre's in his hotel. And
that was Putin. Cut him off. He said, why? Enough for this.
What is Putin worried about? Everything's going well. Yeah, Russia's won two games at the World Cup.
Nobody's listening. They're listening in because, you know, the Russian players, Montreal, Claude Julien. Cut him right off.
Mitch, you alluded to Michael Farber when he joined us last September, we can hear from him.
If you look at this and you just say, well, we can talk about instances and why it happened in each case, but if you add it up together, it seems clear to me that there's been a decision to clear out Russians here. Now, where did this come from? How did this happen? I don't know. I'm not privy to that. Maybe I'm, you know, Oliver Stone here. I'm seeing conspiracy theories where there are none.
All right, so there is a part of the conversation we had with Michael Farber last September. So they had already lost Radulov to Dallas by then, and the Markov thing was in a holding pattern. Or he had already jumped. He had announced that he had jumped to Russia.
It'll be interesting to see, one, with all these potential Canadian trades, if Sherbak's thrown in, right? This is a storyline that people want to go, and if Carolina doesn't take Svechnikov, if the Canadians bypass him.
Yeah.
Well, that would be crazy if they did.
I don't think they should. If he's the guy that, if for some reason he's available at three, there's no doubt in my mind they should take him. But if they don't, maybe there's more legs to this angle.
I think we have Pierre back. Pierre?
I don't know what happened, but I'm telling you right now, I haven't had any issues with anybody I've been on the phone with. So I think you have gremlins in your system. But anyway.
No, gremlins at the Kremlin.
No, it was Putin cut us off because we were talking about the Russians.
So, Sean, you just talked about Carolina, which I thought was a really shrewd point. Here's one thing, though, people need to pay attention to. Carolina's open for business. I know everybody's speculating that they're going to take Svechnikov. What happens if they trade the pick? Mm-hmm. I think this draft has a chance to go way off the board because of the trading of picks. There are a lot of teams that want to move up. There's some that want to really make the playoffs. Hello, Carolina. They haven't made it in a long time. And they're not good. Svechnikov's not going to be the guy that's going to be the difference between making it and not making it this year. They may be trading that pick for live NHL bodies. I don't know. But it's going to be something really to pay attention to for a lot of different teams, not just Montreal or not just Ottawa, who are picking 3 and 4.
Do you already have a good idea of what you're going to do if you stay at three, or is there still some room to...
Yeah, well, there's still ongoing discussion, but there's a few guys we have target, yes.
All right, there's Mark Bergevin, who also told Joey Alfieri on Saturday that they're listening to offers for the third pick.
Well, because there are a bunch of teams that have more than one pick in the first round, and one team has three picks
the Rangers?
In the first round.
Is that the Rangers?
The Rangers have three. How many do a few other teams have? I think there's two. Two other teams have two.
The Islanders have a pair.
There you go. So it's just that's going to be one of those things that's going to be very interesting to watch. And Detroit has already said publicly they want to try to move down if they can, go lower. I think the Rangers would like to try to find a way to sneak up. Closer to one or two or three, they're in a very aggressive, active rebuild, really aggressive. And I think they're also going to look at trading NHL players. This thing's got a chance to be really exciting. It really does.
And again, our coverage Friday right after the show, right after the Friday scrum with Sean, Tony, Dan Robertson in studio, Mitch Gallo on site.
Well,
Dallas.
Just looking at the Canadiens division, Ottawa has two, including the number four overall, and Detroit also two first-round picks.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, it's one of those where you look at it, some of those teams that have multiple first-round picks have the extra collateral to be able to move up to get something that they maybe want a little bit more.
Pierre, we got cut off yesterday a little sooner than we wanted to, so we just, and again, for those who maybe have missed you yesterday, I don't want you to recap the entire trade. What can you tell us in terms of Max Domi, if Max Domi's ceiling, as he arrives as a National Hockey League when he's a veteran, who is he?
He's going to have to be himself. He's going to have to be an up-and-down winger with good hand skills, get involved physically. And I don't mean fighting. I just mean, you know, bumping people and establishing forecheck. Maybe a little bit bigger version of Brendan Gallagher that way. But that's what he's going to be. I don't see this being the addition of, you know, a silky smooth scorer, pure scorer. It just hasn't materialized the way it looked like it would his first year. You know, and I watched a ton of their games, and it was not easy for anybody there, but in particular, it was very difficult for him. It's amazing. Clayton Keller went in there and just shredded it. He had a phenomenal year, and Max Domi couldn't build off of that. And it was kind of different to see that. It was very shocking, actually.
And in terms of Galchenyuk, why, you know Rick Tocchet very well. Why
yeah,
do you think
today? Actually, I was in touch with Rick today. So,
why do you think Galchenyuk will, if in fact he does, thrive as a center under Tocchet as opposed to Michel Therrien or Claude Julien?
Because Rick Tocchet helped start Steven Stamkos' career, and at the beginning, if you remember, there were people that were working in that organization at the time who said that Stamkos wasn't even an NHL player.
Oh, I know who that guy was.
Yeah, and Tocchet actually got him on a schedule and trained him unbelievably hard, and that's what really started it for Steven, was the relationship with Rick Tocchet and what Rick was able to do for him. And it worked out fantastically well for Steven, and I think Rick and Johnny Mac, and I think Chris knows Johnny McClain real well, those two guys, I think they can do a real good job with him. They'll find a way to get through to him.
That was Barry Melrose who brief pit stop in Tampa. All right, Barry Trotz, something else we didn't get to yesterday with you, Pierre. Barry Trotz, based on what was said publicly in the immediate aftermath of the Cup win, it sounded like they were on their way to working something out, and bingo, he's free. There's one opening, one notable opening, where John Tavares still lives for now. Do you see that transpiring, or what happens with Barry Trotz, you think?
I'd be shocked if he wasn't already in touch with the New York Islanders and Lou Lamoriello. I'd be absolutely shocked by that. That being said, I have not touched base with Barry since he won the Cup. Last time I spoke to him was on the ice, you know, when they were getting the Cup. But I would tell you that the biggest thing with him, he's never shied away from any challenge. I think anybody that goes to the island, it's a very big challenge because you really don't have a rink that you can call home, and you will not have it probably until as early as 2021. That's a tough way to build a team. People want to have a home. They want to have a fixed place where they call home. And so I think that's going to be one of the challenges. But if they can get over that challenge, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the coach there.
One more, Sean?
Yeah, I just wanted to a question that I had for you yesterday, because when you started talking about Max Domi, you talked about who he was playing with and when he had success at the World Juniors.
Yeah.
I just want to know what type of players could maximize his potential here in Montreal.
He'd be great if they had a give and go center iceman. That'd be really good. That'd be one of, I think, where he'd really fit in as a guy that could play give and go hockey with him. He's good. He knows how to get into dead spots and coverage. He knows how to go get the puck. He knows how to move the puck. But if he can play with somebody that can play give-and-go hockey, that'd be really good. I don't know if Montreal's got, you know, anybody really like that right now. It'll be interesting to see how Drouin continues to evolve, because obviously that's a big part of their plan going forward. It has to be. And if he doesn't evolve to another level this year, it's going to be difficult.
So based on previous years at this time, 3 or 4 days before the draft, you feel that it will be busy, comparatively speaking?
Well, based on what happened I told you this 2 weeks ago, I thought that would be the biggest story coming out of the draft, would be the amount of movement, whether it's draft picks or live fire NHL players or prospects. We've already seen Hoffman move. You know, a lot of people are speculating Carlson's going to be moved out of Ottawa. We'll see on that. I think there's a lot of other bodies around the league that could be moved. I know people have an appetite to go lower in the draft. They want to get better picks. So we'll see. So I think, yeah, the potential's there for a lot of movement. The one thing I don't think you'll see, I don't think you'll see a lot of people moving 2019 draft picks, especially early ones. And I don't think you'll see people moving 2020 draft picks, especially early ones. Both, this draft is very solid. It is. This draft's very good. But the two after this one are magnificent. They're really, really good drafts.
Glad to be able to talk to you. almost nonstop.
The Gremlin got us, though. That was, I think Nyland's doing stuff.
Yeah, Maguire, it was Putin. It's got nothing to do with me.
You know what, Chris? I was so happy to hear you tell the story about Billy Hanson. He's such a good person. I got to know him so well so many years ago, and I still see him from time to time, Chris, in Norwood, Mass, at the old Colonial Cafe.
Yeah, he's living down near Cape Cod, but he actually, he was there. His first year was my junior year. So I was there at the beginning with Bill Hanson, so pretty cool.
Another blast from the past coming right up. Ty Domi will talk about his son. And I think the rest of us will just kind of put our feet up and let Chris and Ty go at it. That's coming up next.
That'll be good.
Yeah,
I want to listen to that. That'll be awesome.
I'm gonna duck.
Thanks, Pierre. We'll talk tomorrow.
Bye. You gotta bye.
Yo, what's the connection between hockey gloves, pipes, almond milk, breast pumps, water bottles, and pop?